Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us. LT, how you doing?
I'm very well. It's beautiful. Just gorgeous weather. My goodness. The weekend in Edmonton, this nice. You've got to go enjoy yourself. I don't care what you do. Doesn't matter. But I insist you go enjoy yourself outside.
Yes, very much so. So I'll ask you the same question I asked Struds and our listeners. We've got a lot of feedback on it. You get one buyout, Al. Neil or Koskinen, who and why?
I'd buy out Neil, and I'll tell you why. You've got one more year with Koskinen, and then he's done. If you buy out Koskinen this year, you're going to be faced with buying out Neil next year. So you've got two buyouts. I'd rather go the way of buying out Neil, getting that done. It's a higher, like, it's, you save money, but it's a, you know, you're going to be paying for a while. But then you've got Koskinen that you can play out this coming year. Now, if you're Ken Holland and you're going to trade for a backup goaltender, then my theory doesn't work. But strictly speaking, on whether or not which player I would buy out, it would be Neil this year. I'd play Koskinen and then turn over the goaltending a year from now.
So, like, is that enough of a? And I guess it's not an upgrade, but like, can those two hold water? And if the rest of the team is upgraded in the ways that, you know, so many people have outlined already?
Well, here's the problem. I think Koskinen, you know, obviously he had a tough run there. But if you, the only time he's ever had a difficult time with the Oilers is when he got overplayed. The problem is there's a lot of history. You know, you develop a past. The other problem is if you look at what's available on the free agent market in goaltending right now, there's a lot. You could sign a lot of different goaltenders as options. Next year, I think it's Darcy Kemper and maybe one other player, maybe a Columbus goaltender, that are going to be free agents of note. And that's it. So the circumstances have sort of conspired against Koskinen and Ken Holland, quite frankly. But you could always make a trade at the deadline if you needed to. I don't think that's going to happen. Koskinen's performance, late in the year, and then, you know, I'd say the last two or three starts, there was maybe a couple that were poor. I think they'll probably want to improve that area. They're going to bring Mike Smith back, so Koskinen's gone. And if they're going to buy him out, that means they can't trade him.
Well, 100%. And I look at, you mentioned the goaltenders this year in the free agent market. There's so many options that taking Koskinen even at 50% is at 2.25. And teams are like, well, geez, I'll just go sign a guy. And away we go. So, you know, unless Edmonton was going to give an asset with it, which, you know, they don't have a ton of assets to give up to just add that. The reason I would do Koskinen, and I agree with you, because then you might have to buy Neil out, but here's two options I look at. I look at the role James Neal's going to play if he's here. It's like a third or fourth line left winger, and then he's on your first unit power play. And that's probably where the majority of his goals will come from. Him and Puljujärvi will split it 50-50, I would think. And so I look, you know what, even if he's only, you know, he's not a great possession player, 5-on-5, and, you know, I get all that, sucks. But his ability to defend is just not as important as the goaltenders, right? And I look at Koskinen, and he's going to have to play probably 35, maybe 40 games. Like, hey, I like Mike Smith, but, you know, he's still going to be 40. So I don't know if I want to suddenly be playing Mike Smith 55 games a year. You know what I mean? So I just think the chance of, or the importance of that position to play a significant role is just higher than what the, whoever fills in for James Neal if he's not there on your third or fourth line left wing.
Yeah, and there's, you know, look, James Neal was hurt this year, this past year, and the previous year he scored a ton on the power play. But if you look at his stats from this year where he was hurt, you know, his 5-on-5 scoring, points per 60 was 1.44. He scored 0.82 goals per 60 at 5-on-5, which was number four behind McDavid, Puljujärvi, and Draisaitl. He actually, when he was in the lineup, and he does this, like, you know, Neil's a funny player because I think sometimes you don't really recognize what a player does until he plays on the team that you follow closely. But he's an optimistic scorer. He gets to places, and sometimes the puck will go in 10 times out of 10, and then they can spend 2 months in the same spot and they just don't go in. And it's often great scorers are streaky, and he's one of those guys. And he catches on opportunities sometimes, opportunistic scorer is what I meant, and that'll go away from him. So there are times when fans are down on a guy like James Neal, but you know, his scoring rates a year ago when he was in the lineup weren't bad at 5-on-5.
No, and the funny thing is, James Neal's last 84 games, Al, he has 24 goals.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, the only thing I wonder about, and, you know, you guys staring at the same depth chart I am, if they've signed Shore and they're keeping Neal and Nuge is there, you're probably bringing in one more. You're running out of spots for players like Tyler Benson and that sort of thing. Now, look, that's not an issue right now because we're in the off season and Tyler Benson might be in Seattle 3 weeks from now as a member of the Kraken. But the Neal can play right wing, and that might be an area that we see him. We haven't seen him, I don't think, so far in his Edmonton career, but I think he mentioned when he got here he preferred playing the right side, and that might be a wrinkle we see.
Joined by Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown Flow Tie. You can hear him every day here on the station from 10 to 12 on TSN 1260. When you look at some of the rumors that are floating around and say, or you know, yesterday was floated around that maybe the Leafs are interested in Tyler Bertuzzi, maybe he'd be there. Is that a player that interests you at all as a trade for the Edmonton Oilers to fill in the gap beside Leon and or Connor?
Yeah, I feel like the Oilers have a more substantial need there. Like if you, you know, you mentioned Hyman. If they could find a way to get a left winger for the McDavid line, and I'll just use Hyman because he's in my brain because you mentioned him. So Hyman, McDavid, Puljujarvi, and then the Leon line with Nugent, Yamamoto. Then I think you're okay there. And maybe on that third line, I don't know where Toronto plans on using him. Maybe on that third line he could be useful. But again, as Gregor said a minute ago, the Oilers don't have a lot of assets. I'm wondering, you know, what the cost would be with that player. And sooner or later, you've got Holloway and Benson and those guys. Sooner or later, you're going to have to develop one of these guys that's inexpensive, that doesn't cost you a lot in terms of cap hit.
Al Mitchell joins us in Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. And, Al, you look around the NHL, and, you know, there's some buyouts. Edmonton, of course, has, you know, got some options that a lot of people think are realistic. Other ones, you know, Jake Virtanen potentially in Vancouver. Tony DeAngelo is an obvious one for the New York Rangers. You know, I saw Paul Byron have a very emotional talk today. Some people are thinking maybe Paul Byron's bought out of Montreal. I'm not sure that really makes a ton of sense, to be honest. But I could see six or seven buyouts. I think the Oilers are making one. I just don't know which one it's going to be, Neal or Koskinen. Like, I was leaning towards – I think the organization was leaning towards Neal originally. And now as it's getting closer, they're like, well, hey, wait a sec. You know, maybe Koskinen, you know, in theory, maybe can help us more. And because, like, I don't think Mikko Koskinen's got any room to improve. I don't think – Mikko Koskinen is what he is. I don't think he's getting any better. And James Neal's not getting any quicker. But James Neal, as I just mentioned, he's got 24 goals in his last 82 NHL games. Right, and that's during COVID and during broken toes and everything else. Like, that's still pretty good production. And so that's why I'm like, sheesh, you know, hey, maybe the wheels have completely fallen off and maybe I'm totally wrong. But if I had to bet and take a bet and then think about the value to the team, I would still bet more on Koskinen not giving me as much as I could get in the role that I was expecting for Neal, knowing full well that neither one of them is great.
Yeah, and one thing that about goaltenders that is they can fool you. You know, people should be prepared for Koskinen, you know, get bought out, signed, you know, somewhere and play brilliantly because the goalies do that. They really do, and they have, you know, NHL history shows us that. But it comes back to, I'm sure Ken Holland and Dave Tippett had a meeting at the end of the year, and I'm sure that Dave Tippett let Ken Holland know what he liked, what he'd like to see upgraded. And I'll bet you, although I wasn't in the room, I'll bet you goaltending was one area the coach said, man, I would really like to have a stronger option. I felt at times handcuffed. Now, part of the problem was they overplayed Koskinen at the beginning of the year. That said, it was still an issue for Tippett through, you know, the latter part of the year, and that, you know, is going to be the recollection. I think Koskinen... if he chooses to, like if they buy him out, if he chooses to sign with another NHL team, he probably would be like a backup, and it might be I'll sign, and if I don't make the team, I'm going back to the KHL. But I, with his size, I guarantee somebody out there likes him.
Well, if we're being honest though, Ty, if they don't buy out either guy, that tells me they're in a holding pattern for this year. They're letting their youth grow. They're gonna let this team, you know, they're gonna fill up top. Like, it doesn't mean they're not gonna add guys at the third line center and some of these guys, the left winger, the lefty. But that tells me they're in a holding pattern and let some of these deals work their way out, let this team grow, and then the next summer make a spot to get the right goalie, and then what season that'd be? That'd be 2022-23, I guess. That's the year they're pointing, if there's no buyouts. Is that a fair chat?
Yeah, I think so. I the only thing I would say to you is that I think this is go time. Like, I think they're going to buy out one guy. I don't know who.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I think, like, if you're Ken Holland, you look at what he did. He had no money in year one, and he had very little more money in year two. And he made some, I think, some, you know, I'll defend his signing of Barry. And Mike Smith, I didn't think it was going to work out. It did. It worked out famously. People can get upset about Cahoon, but he scored at a 15 or 16 goal rate per 82 games. That's not terrible. But now he's got money. He doesn't have to shop in the Cahoon aisle. He can shop in the Jason Strudwick aisle, the aisle that, you know, you can be comfortable in.
Nice
your
stuff.
Buggy has room. And so he can go get some guys this year. And if he is... I think he's planning on making some loud noises, whether they're trades or free agents. And I think we're going to see a right-handed center, a left winger for McDavid. Maybe you even get a right winger as well, kind of a two-way guy, because they're very young on the skill lines. And you're obviously going to either sign Larson or get somebody to replace him, and then you've got to deal with the Klefbom situation plus the goaltending. So he knows this team really well now. So does Tippett. I think it's go time. I think we're going to see a very busy Edmonton Oilers team here in the next 25 days.
Al, the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course, back to back. They'll try to become the first team since the Islanders to go back to back to back. Extremely hard to do. Who do you see Seattle taking from Tampa in the expansion?
Oh, that's a great question. Jeez. Well, everybody says it's going to be Johnson. I'd love to see their protected list, because I think they're going to trade a few people. I don't know. Because some of those young players, like number seven, is it Matthew Joseph? They've got some really good young players. But I think that Tyler Johnson would be my guess. Although, you know, it's hard to see Tampa Bay protecting all those guys with no movement clauses. They're going to have to ask some of them to waive them. And if they do, then one of those guys probably supersedes Tyler Johnson, who I think also has a no movement.
Well, I was looking Tampa Bay, actually. The guys who have no movement clauses are guys like Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman, right? Those are the only ones in Vasilevsky. They're protecting them anyway, right? Anybody who has a modified no-trade clause can be exposed in the expansion draft. So it's after that, it's kind of, you know, I think Braden Point's an obvious, and I think Anthony Cirelli, because of his age, is the fourth forward they keep. So that leaves Palat, Gord, Killorn, and Johnson, and out of those four, Johnson would be my fourth choice. The interesting one to me is if they decide with Ryan McDonough to expose him, and so they protect Cal Foote as their fourth defenseman. And if that's the case, you know, then Seattle's kind of like, well, geez, here's a guy. Granted, he has 5 years left at 6.75. I think they're going to do it. I'm not sure Seattle will take him, because they probably would still take Yanni Gourde instead. But, you know, they're going to lose somebody, Al, and like, Tampa's lucky. Could you imagine if there was no expansion draft right now?
Oh,
everything
man.
That we thought they had to do last summer, they're going to have to do again this time. And but this time, they kind of get one free pass because they get to lose a big contract. Like, if I was Seattle, and if you wanted to, you know, you could put the screws to them and just say, nah, we're going to take a low-level guy. Now, I know that's kind of, you know, spitting in your own face, so they probably won't do it. But, you know, it would be fascinating to see if they did that. And all of a sudden, Tampa's like, well, now we didn't lose anybody. Now we're going to have to trade away picks just to get
Yeah, no. What I think what Greg's is talking about though makes a lot of sense. You know, when you're trying to set it up and say, can you imagine? That's a pretty high stakes game of poker, low tide. If you're saying, hey man, we're not gonna take the big guy. We're gonna take the lower guy. If he wants to take the bigger guy, you're gonna have to send us some cash, and maybe that's the angle to play with him.
Are you guys protecting Cernak, the defenseman?
Well, in Gregor's theory, I don't know that he has him. He does have him, because who would be the D-man he covers? He covers Sergachev, Cernak, and Hedman, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, right. So then, Joseph is the guy I like. I know he didn't score. I think he scored 12 goals this year or whatever. But he's cheap like Borscht. He's like, he's under $1 million, and he's got another year. And Gregor's thing is right. Can you imagine how shocked they'd be in Tampa Bay if they took one of those inexpensive, very good young players like that? And they have a few. So, this ain't over, I guess, is what we're saying.
Exactly what Tampa probably doesn't want to happen. Low Tide, have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Who wins on Sunday between England and Italy?
Well, I promised Wanick that I would cheer for Italy, so I will.
Okay.
I hope is that the winning play is on a penalty that's not a penalty, and they go to video review and they call it a penalty anyway, because that's a really fun thing.
You love chaos, buddy. You love chaos. Thanks a lot, Low Tide. Have a great weekend.
Yep. You too.